2 Kings chapter 5. Take a brief pause from our study on the book of the Revelation just for 1 week, so don't get excited. 2 Kings chapter 5. If men have ever earned one criticism historically, it is that we do not like to follow instructions. Amen? Yeah. How many of you are guilty of that? I have to raise my hands. Oftentimes when you buy something, when you get something, you rip open the box, you empty out the parts, you look at the instructions, and you're like, man, this will make a great scratch pad, and that's about it, right? And you go to work. You build it, and it blows up. Amen? As men, oftentimes we do not like to follow instructions. My boys, I buy them these big, expensive Lego sets for their birthday. And they get it, they pull out the instructions, they fall about halfway, they throw the instructions away, then they build whatever they want. I'm like, why? You know, you don't have an AT-AT thing now. Now you got a little weird-looking dog. That's what they want to do. Amen? Men do not like to follow instructions. As we come to our text, we see a man who had a problem with instructions. 2 Kings chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus, and the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not the Abana and the Pharfar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" When he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. There are 4 parts to this narrative I want us to follow this morning as we look at this man Naaman and his apprehension at following the instructions. Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. May you speak now, Lord Jesus, as only you can. May you challenge us by your word, O God. And may you, Lord Jesus, be honored and glorified for all that is done. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. The first aspect I want us to see is the man. This story is about a man named whom? Naaman. Naaman was a what? He was a soldier, right? He was a general. He was a mighty man of valor. And he was an important man with his kings because he had been successful. He had been victorious. God had given Syria deliverance through this man's hand. He was a brilliant guy. Military man. I wish Roy was here. General. Decorated. But he had one problem. He was a what? Leper. Leprosy in the scriptures is often referred as a blanket statement to any type of skin disease. But in the Old Testament, if one was declared to be a leper, he was an outcast. He was cast from society and they had to live in their own little colonies because they were afraid that disease would spread to everyone else. So Naaman, though he was important, though he was successful, though he was a great man of valor, he was as if he were a slave because of his leprosy. All of us, no matter where we come from, who our mom and dad are, no matter whether you're a Yankee like me, amen, blessed by God, and if you're a Southerner, makes no difference. We all have one problem that is common amongst all men. We are sinners. We are sinners. No matter whether you're rich, no matter whether you're poor, no matter if you're black, no matter if you're white, no matter if you're from up north or you're from down south, east or west, makes no difference. Every man, woman, and child is a sinner. And just like this man, in spite of his wealth, he could do nothing to heal his disease. And the wealthiest man alive, though he give all his money to build the highest cathedral, is still a sinner in God's sight. He can do nothing of his own. He can work, he can earn his forgiveness, not err a bit. No matter who he is or what he's done, he is a sinner. Today we celebrate, and this past week we've been celebrating one man, Billy Graham. Billy Graham is a great man, not because he was a preacher. He is a great man not because he was an evangelist. He is a great man because he was a Christian. And none of the works in his life would matter a bit had he not first come to Christ as his Savior. You can give millions of dollars. You can preach the gospel the world over. You can share. You can give. You can feed the poor. You can clothe the naked. And the naked need to be clothed. Amen? But it matters not. For nothing you can do can earn your forgiveness before God. The Bible says, for we are dead in our trespasses and sin. For by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. You must come to Christ for your salvation. You cannot earn it yourself. You are like a leper. Incurable, outcast, separated from God. There is no hope for this man named Naaman. No hope outside of God. Notice secondly, we see the man and his condition. Look at the maiden. Notice what the Bible says in verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and they had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. How did Naaman hear about this prophet? How did Naaman hear about this God of Israel? Through a little captive girl. Now this is Old Testament, ancient world politics. You would raid a city and you would capture everyone and you would take them as what? Slaves, right? You would take them as slaves. She did not volunteer to go with them. I can guarantee you that. The Bible even says they had raided this town in Israel and they had taken this girl captive and she waited on Naaman's wife. She is a slave. She didn't have to open her mouth. She could have let Naaman die, right? She could have let Naaman die. But in spite of her condition as a slave, she spoke and she told Naaman's wife, I wish to God that my Lord, my master, Naaman, would go to the prophet that is in Israel, because he would recover him of his leprosy. Hear me. You don't have to have a degree in Bible to make a difference in someone's life. You don't have to have a theological diploma. You don't have to have all the Bible knowledge in the world. You don't have to be an adult to make a difference in someone's life. All this little girl did was speak the truth, and it changed Naaman's life forever. Hear me. Hear me. You do not have to be a professional pastor to be a witness for God's glory. All you have to be is a slave. You know what the Bible tells us over and over and over again? Paul introduces himself all throughout the New Testament. He calls himself a what? He says the bond servant, the bond slave of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you are a slave to him. Amen? You are a slave to him. You are a servant to him. You have chosen to be so. You are a bond slave to Jesus. Just as this little girl was to her mistress, you are to Christ. All you have to do is open your mouth. She didn't preach him a sermon. She didn't give him 3 points in a poem. Amen? She simply said, he's got a problem, and one man has the solution, and that's my God. And if he would go to the prophet, he'd be cleansed. God uses anybody. Amen? God can use anyone. God used a donkey to witness to Balaam. God could use you. Amen? Samson used the jawbone of a donkey to what? Kill 1,000 Philistines. Could he not use you? Could he not use me? You see, there's no one else on this earth that should not be pastoring than me. When I was a child in speech class, I couldn't put 2 words together. I get so nervous, I get sick to my stomach, I would be scared to death. My first sermon was at a nursing home, and it lasted all of 25 seconds. You guys aren't that lucky. 25 seconds. I got up, I read my text, and I was nervous, and half the audience was asleep. Scared to death to speak in front of people that probably wouldn't remember I was ever there. But here I am. See, it doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take the brightest crayon in the box. All it takes is someone obedient, like this girl was. I am not the most gifted pastor. I'm not the most eloquent speaker. But don't have to be. Amen? Amen? This little girl didn't have an education. She didn't have a theological diploma. All she knew was Naaman had a problem, and she knew where the answer was. That's all you have to be. You want to be used by God. Amen? How many of you want to be used by God? I want to be used by God. You don't have to have all that. All you have to do is know the problem and know the solution. That's what that girl did. And she didn't have to. No one would have blamed her if she would have let that cruel Syrian suffer and die. He was the enemy. But she was compassionate. She loved her enemy, even though he had made her a slave. We can learn a lot from that girl. Amen? We can learn a lot from her. But notice, thirdly, you've seen the man, we've seen the maiden. Let us look at the prophet. Look with us, verse 6. So Naaman goes to the king of Syria, and he says, I want to go to this prophet. This little girl says that I can be cured for my leprosy. So the king says, I'll send a letter. So he took this letter the king had given, a letter of introduction, and he had taken tons of money with him, right? 6,000 gold pieces, 10 changes of clothes, 10 suits of clothing, talents of silver. He was willing to pay. Amen? He's willing to pay. He goes to the king. He offers the letter to the king of Israel. The king of Israel says, what am I to do? I'm not God. How can I make this guy? I don't know. This king of Syria is just trying to pick another fight. Elisha hears about it. And Elisha says, don't worry. Send him to me. And this Syrian will know. Notice what he says. Let him come now to me, verse 8, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And by default, what he's saying is he'll know that there is a prophet, there is a God in Israel. So notice what happens. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now, you've got to understand the culture. In ancient Near Eastern society, when you had an important guest come to your home, what would you do? You would go out with what? Pomp and circumstance. I mean, you would, you know, roll out the red carpet, right? This is the general of the Syrian armies, and he's come to your house. You do not want to offend this guy, right? What does Elisha do? He sends messengers. I love that. Why? Elisha's not impressed. Elisha's the prophet of God. He speaks to someone much more important than that guy. Amen? He's not impressed with gold. He's not impressed with silver. He's not impressed with the man's reputation. And he sends servants to greet him. And what does that do to Naaman? He makes him mad. Naaman, like most men, sadly, has an inflated ego. Amen? He thinks highly of himself, right? He's successful. He's won wars against Israel. And now this sheep herder isn't going to come and greet me. He's upset. And what is the message? What does Elisha tell the man to do? Go, dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be like that of a newborn child. Won't be scaly, won't be leprous, won't be diseased. You will be, he uses the word, clean. How does Naaman react? He's mad again. He's offended that Elisha didn't come out, didn't respect his position. Then he's offended because he's given some simple task to do. And notice what he says. He says, are not the Abarner and the Farfar rivers of Damascus greater than all the rivers of Israel? Why do I have to go down to this dirty, dank little swamp and dip in? And that's the Jordan River. The Jordan River ain't like the Potomac or the Mississippi. It's a small little stream. And it's used, it's dirty, it's not the greatest place where a big guy like Naaman's going to go down and wash in. Because who's bathing at that river? Who's washing their pots in that river? Jews, his enemies. He has to humble himself to do this. So Naaman's upset. He turns away, and the Bible says how? In a rage. In a rage. Here's a guy who's not willing to what? Follow instructions. The one thing I love about Lego instructions is there's no words. Amen? Just pictures. Even my 4-year-old now has figured out how to look at the instructions and assemble stuff together. He's the one, though, that goes about halfway and gets upset and then just does whatever he wants to do anyway. But he can figure it out. They're not that hard. Yes? Naaman was giving a simple set of instructions and he was going to ignore it and walk away. What does his servant say? Notice, if I can find my Bible. Here we go. There it is, verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then when he says to you, wash and be clean? The gospel isn't complicated. The Bible says all you have to do to be saved is what? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? It's not complicated. But here's the thing. People don't do it. People don't do it. They refuse to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're like Naaman. It's too simple. He says, if you were bid you to do some great thing, would you not have granted? If he would have said, climb to the highest mountain, slay 1,000 bears, and bring me their skulls. He would have done it. Why? Because he did this great task. He's a great man. He's told to wash in a dirty, Jew-infested river. That takes humility. For this Syrian warrior, that takes humility. He has to humble himself, and he wasn't willing to do it. He wasn't willing to do it. Why do not people come to the gospel? Because of one word, repent. They're not willing to surrender their life. They're not willing to yield themselves to Christ. They're not willing to humble themselves to Him. They'd rather try to work and earn their salvation, something that's unearnable. How much simpler. I can almost hear these servants. How much simpler when Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. Trust in Christ and you'll be clean. What does Naaman do? Fourthly, the procedure. What does he do? He goes down to the river. I would love to have seen that sight. This big caravan with wagons and camels and gold and clothing coming down to this little Jordan River. And here's all of these Israelites gathered around. And they're washing their clothes. They're washing their babies. They're using the restroom. That's what they do. And you see this Syrian general dismount his war horse, take off his armor, go down with his enemies. And he does according to what the word of the prophet is. He dips himself 7 times. And when he comes up, his skin is like that of a what? A little child. You say, was it the number of times that did it? No. It was his obedience to the word of God. His obedience to the word of God. What saves you? Your faith? No. Christ saves you. And the fact that you have done what the scripture says and repented and believed in the gospel. Amen. Christ saves you. Cleanses you. All you're commanded to do is believe on Him, repent, and believe the gospel. And Jesus does the cleaning. So how do we look at this story and how do we apply it? Most of us in this room, I believe, would confess that they're already Christians. How many of us do things our own way? The scriptures have a lot of details about how to live our life as believers, does they not? How to love our wives, how to raise our family, how to love our spouses, how to treat our neighbors, how to treat your pastor. I'm still trying to find it in there where it says, you know, feed him steak dinners every Friday night, but it's not yet found it. How to treat one another. See, the problem is we don't like to follow the instructions, do we? Even as Christians, we still have that pride. We try to do marriage our own way, and it winds up a mess, doesn't it? We try to do church our own way, and it winds up a mess, doesn't it? We try to do life our own way. We wind up a mess. Hear me. This is simple. If you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of God living within you. As I read this morning, that there it goes. I gotta forget that I'm restricted my movements because that stupid microphone. Hope you appreciate this, Stephen. I completely lost my train of thought. It was good. It was gold. It's gone. when we try to do things our own way, try to live life our own way, we're going to fail. This isn't that hard. It's simple. As I read this morning, yes, back on track. The Holy Spirit, Jesus promised, would bring to what? Remembrance of all the things that he has taught us. The Spirit lives within you. You have that inner witness of God's Spirit to guide and direct you subjectively what is objective in his word. You have two gears driving you in the Christian life. His word and his Spirit. This is easy for a Christian. Should be to follow his instructions. Don't let pride get in the way. Amen? Follow what he says. Follow his word. You want to know how to have a happy home? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your what? Wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Just let that hang in the air before I get fruit thrown at me. I've told Becky when we got married, says, you have no reason to ever submit to me if I'm not loving you like I should. And she looked at me and said, yes, I do, because the Bible doesn't offer that as a condition. You know you found the right one when she tells you that. You want to know how to be a parent? Look here. Spare not the rod. Do I like to discipline my boys? No. But as you can tell, they need it. Do you want to know why our children are in such a mess? Why kids go into schools and shoot? It's not because they have access to guns. We've had access to guns for hundreds of years in this country. I've listened to Louis L'Amour tell a story where he mentioned this. He said in the Old West, children would pack 6 guns as they walked to school, as they rode to school, rode for miles, and it was too dangerous to ride into town without a gun. They would hang their guns next to their coats in the cloakroom at the schoolhouse. He says this story. He said, one day a guy came to the school wanting to kill the teacher, and the kids got their guns and held them at gunpoint until the sheriff arrived. So guns in school are a problem. No, we've had guns in school before. Even saved a teacher's life once. It's not guns aren't the problem. I think a lot of it's the lack of discipline at home. And the fact that most of these kids don't have a home. Their dads are gone. Their moms are gone. Their dad's working. Their mom's working. And they're left to themselves. And I don't have my phone on me, but they're left with that. Our kids spend 8 hours a day being instructed at a public school, most of them. They're being fed the world's theology 8 hours a day, and you wonder why our kids are a mess. You could bring them to church all 3 services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I'd still only have them for 3 hours. You cannot unbalance what the school gives them in 3 hours a week. They need to be getting it somewhere else. That's the home. I'm off on a rabbit trail, but we're going to hunt it down. We're going to kill it. Because it infuriates me. And it's not the world that's failed. It's the church. See, the world's lost. They're going to be lost. We need to be the ones following the instructions. Amen? We need to be doing what this book says. We need to be living like this teaches, like the Spirit's pushing us to do. We need to be doing it. Our homes should be like this. Our marriages should be like this. They're never going to be perfect. I understand that. Becky and my's marriage isn't perfect. We're pretty close. We're pretty close. She couldn't have done any better. Amen? Yep, there comes that fruit. Hear me. We're never going to be perfect. My home's not perfect. I lose my temper with my boys more than I would ever want to. but they push the right buttons. We need to follow this word. We need to follow it. Naaman learned that when you do things God's way, it works out. When you follow what the prophet says, when you follow the word of God, it works out. He stood up from that water like he was a newborn child. His skin needed no moisturizer. Amen? No boils, no blisters, no scabs, no scales. He was clean. We do things God's way. It works. It works. Does it mean we'll be the most successful? No, it doesn't. Does it mean we'll have the most money? It certainly doesn't. But we will do it God's way. We will be right with Him. That's what's important. Amen? That's what matters. When my kids bury me, and I've told them before, I said, guys, you're going to bury me one day, I'm going to die. And their first thoughts are, well, Dad, who's going to get all your guns? I said, well, you know, you guys will have to split them up between us. Then they start going and telling which one they want. I'm like, whoa, it's going to be, hopefully, Lord willing, years. And Nate's like, why so long? I'm like, good night, son. Good night. I said, one day you're going to bury me. But I don't want you to look over my grave and tell me. I was glad my dad worked so hard, had so much money, had so many guns. I want my testimony to be with my children that I'm glad my dad walked with God, followed the book. We ate ramen noodles because that's all we could afford sometimes. We wore hand-me-downs and we got our clothes from the Salvation Army. But we did it God's way. And it's not a wealthy home God wants. It's a happy home. A holy home. One that works according to His word. Wherever you are this morning, wherever you are, whether you're newlyweds, you guys, whether you've been married for a long time, whether you're single, live according to the word. Amen. Do it God's way. Follow His instructions. If you're lost, there's only one way to salvation. That's through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. The only way for Naaman to be cleansed was if he obeyed the word and dipped in the river. And the only way you and I, if we are going to be forgiven our sins, is if we repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that, sung that song this morning. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. It's the only way you can be forgiven is in Christ. So this morning, where are you? Are you doing it your own way? Are you trying to do your marriage? Are you trying to do your relationships? Are you trying to do your home? Are you trying to do your business? Are you trying to do your life your own way? Are you following His word? If you're lost, there's only one way for salvation. It's in Christ. And let us look at the maid and let her be an example that God can use all of us. Amen? If we're just obedient to Him. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for what You have done for us. Thank You for Christ, for Your mercy You've expressed in Him. May, Lord Jesus, You be with our people. I pray wherever they are, You would speak to their hearts. May You bring them to Your word, Holy Spirit. May You guide them. May it be a lamp unto their feet, a light unto their path. May they live their lives following Your instructions. May You work in and through them. May we serve You, Lord Jesus. May You use our lives. No matter how smart, no matter how much education we have or do not have, may You use us because we are willing, because we are obedient. May You be with those, Lord, that are here that may not know You. I pray you would convict their heart. And may, Father, they find a place of faith and repentance. May you work, Lord Jesus, as only you can. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.